The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our family just got back from a cruise last week, and I feel this gospel lesson is a reminder of how it's important to stay on the ship, right? Don't get off the ship. We were going through those safety protocols, and I don't believe anybody on the cruise ship would argue with the importance of staying on the ship while that boat is traveling. And as we reflect on this gospel lesson today, I think there's been a tendency to look at it in focusing on Peter more than on Jesus. And as human beings, we certainly have our legitimate reasons to be afraid. But time and time again, Jesus overcomes those storms. Sadly, I believe the church has made people feel bad if they seem to have little faith. But Jesus doesn't. Doubt is part of a life of faith, and our little faith is overcome by Jesus' faithfulness all the way to the cross. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus calls us out on our faithlessness and points to God's faithfulness. He says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus stills the storm. There's another story. If it sounds familiar, there's another story of them in a boat. He's in there with them, and there's a storm. And the disciples cried out to be saved, and Jesus said, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. In our gospel lesson today, Matthew chapter 14, Jesus reaches out and grabs a hold of Peter and says to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus talks about what the faith the size of a mustard seed can do. He says, "You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And I believe it's throughout Matthew's gospel, you find Jesus calling out the disciples for having little faith or no faith. And what I find interesting is that the people that Jesus commends for having great faith are outsiders. They're not on the inside. And we see faith and doubt in this tension all the way through Matthew's gospel to the Great Commission when the disciples are encountering the resurrected Christ, and it says that they worshiped and doubted. And when we see Jesus calming the storms and walking on water, there is a theological understanding that Jesus is Lord of creation, that Jesus is divine. Which is why we read of the disciples worshiping him. But our gospel lesson today is also a reminder that that we need to stay in our lane. We are not God. We're not the ones who are supposed to be walking on water. We don't do what Jesus is to do. Mark Vitalis Hoffman writes about this gospel lesson. First, it's an enactment of the truth that we're not intended to walk on water. And if we try, we will find ourselves in deep over our heads and unable to save ourselves. The second lesson that we get is Peter does rightly know what we all need to do when caught in situations like this and sinking like a rock. Lord, save me. Both in Matthew chapter 8 and this account in chapter 14, Jesus ends up being in the boat with the disciples. It calls to mind, again, a theme in Matthew, our Emmanuel, God who is with us. Jesus is with them. Jesus is with us when we are weathering the storms of life and all the world can bring to us. And the ship, the boat, has served as a symbol for Christianity and the church in particular. And this symbol is a statement on our mission as the church to be a safe place as people navigate through the troubles of their lives. But I believe in our context, we have too often lost sight of what that symbol means, of what that symbol is supposed to convey to both the church and the world. If the church is a ship, then it's not something that's static. It doesn't stay in one place. But throughout North America, we have grown accustomed as churches to be static, to stay in one place, expecting people to come to us, and quite frankly, wanting particular people to come to us. Not as much interested in being a place of safety and a place to minister to people, all people in times of hardship, but wanting particular people to come. But lifting up some of the tangible things that we do here in our congregation, we bring Holy Communion to our homebound. When our Stephen ministers visit their care receivers, when our bountiful backpack meals get to the families that need them, when our community meals are delivered, when our community meals are received, when people come in to our fellowship hall and eat those meals, breaking bread with other people, when we have funeral dinners. Those all serve examples of how the church is seeking to minister to people in times of adversity and offering ourselves as a safe place where one can be served and flourish, because the church is the people. But we lose sight when we don't stay in our lane. Not so much focused on worshiping the one who walks on water and calms the storms, the one who's Lord over all creation. We lose sight when it becomes about getting people just to come to be part of us and not joined to the one whose faithfulness will overcome each storm that we encounter in this world. We lose sight when we measure ministry in terms of worldly success and not faithfulness, in terms of the numbers of bodies that show up and not the quality of lives that are being enriched through the sharing of the love of Jesus. I love in the Romans text that we hear today, it's a line from Isaiah, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." It's often read at ordination services. That we are to embody what we receive. We are to model the way of Jesus in the world. And we're supposed to be transformed by this love. This isn't just something that we do and we forget about once we hit the parking lot. We are transformed by this relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. This is why in Romans 2 that the word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. There's this kind of strange thing that I do with the gospel lesson, that I make the sign of the cross on my forehead, that it would be on my mind, that I profess it with my lips and receive it in my heart. You may see some Christians do that. But it's a reminder that this needs to transform us, that we are to embody and embrace it in the world. And even if we're going to focus on Peter in this gospel lesson, what does he end up doing if we're focused on Peter? He points us to Jesus. Who helps him out in the end? It's Jesus, right? Jesus gets him out of the jam. And immediately following the passage that we just read, verses 34 and 36, because where are they going? That's an important thing to us to think about too. Where are the disciples traveling to? Where is Jesus sending them on this boat? In verses 34 and 36, it says, when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. After the people of that place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Ships do not stay in one place. They're going somewhere. As the church, as the body of Christ, we're always on the move with Jesus, not staying in one place. Jesus and the disciples were crossing the sea to minister to people, that they would be alleviated from their pain and suffering. Peter, you and me, we're not meant to walk on water. We're reminded to leave the God stuff to God. And that our role and mission as church is to be the ones that share the love of Jesus in word and deed, to minister to the sick and suffering, to comfort the grieving, to feed the hungry, and to love all people as Christ loves us. Earlier I mentioned how we can judge people for not having faith or lacking faith, having enough of it, even though it's part of the faith journey. And how our congregations in this country can tend to want certain people in the pews and will alienate those who we don't want here. And I came across this quote from Pope Francis. The Roman Catholic Church just had World Youth Day. And I think every Christian should take these words to heart. He said, "The only time it is legitimate to look down on someone from above is to help them get up." The only time it is legitimate to look down on someone from above is to help them get up. Jesus continues to be faithful even when we're not. If you're Peter and you're sinking, you're looking up on Jesus and he's looking down on you and he's helping you up. And quite frankly, Peter continues to fall, right? Right? If we follow the story all the way to Good Friday, Peter continues to screw up, right? And Jesus keeps coming back and lifting him up, not holding it against him, not holding anything against us. When we are lifted up, when our sins are forgiven, when we receive the body and blood of Christ, he keeps lifting us up to new life, desiring to be in communion with us, desiring to remind us of God's presence and salvation that is always with us. So we must extend that grace to each other in this world. And if we take that wisdom from Pope Francis to heart, then our hearts are going to be more open to serving more people as the church. And we will continue to live in that ship that is the church, that is always on the move, seeking to walk with those who are looking for a place to weather the storm in their lives and in this world. The salvation that Peter and disciples experienced in our gospel lesson is in the moment. The salvation that the sick received at Gennesaret is in the moment. And in the salvation that Jesus offers to us, it comes to us now. And by the faithfulness of Christ, salvation will endure forever. Let us continue to be on the move with Jesus, who by his eternal loving faithfulness lifts us up from our sinking fears and faithlessness to eternal love and life. Thanks be to God. Amen.